Okay, let's learn. Last week, I thought I was going to finish this parak, and I think we spent the whole time on one sentence. And it's time to finish this parak and to move on to the practical lemaisa, the lemaisa sheba lemaisa of his bardus, of how it works. But to get to the lemaisa of his bardus. So on page Resh Ches in this edition, Kuf Pei Gimel in the other edition. Remember, again, I'm just reminding you that this is a tefillah, which the author, the tzaddik, occasionally gives us examples of how we could also daven, how we could also talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about things that are on our minds very openly, very honestly. This particular parak, the tzaddik was talking about his struggle, which I'm sure was very different than anything that we have, but with eating, and overcoming the taiva of achila, at least improving when it comes to eating and so on. So in the middle of page Reish Ches, let's just finish this parak. So this is all part of his tefillah. He's asking Hashem that besides help me to be conscious of how much I'm eating and how I've become enslaved to eating, I'm asking Hashem, that I should eat in a way of holiness. Now, what does that mean exactly, to eat b'kedusha? That's a very big subject, to eat b'kedusha. But to begin with, it means b'yishav hadas, not to eat in a way where a person is rushing and fressing and not conscious of being full, but just to eat b'kedusha, b'yishav hadas, to eat in a way of yishav hadas, to be composed when you're eating, to be composed, the machshavas kedoshes, to try at least when you're making the bracha. He's going to talk about that in a second. Thank you, John. The kolapachas when you're making the bracha, just amongst ourselves, when it comes to making a bracha, it takes a second, a half a second, to be conscious of the brachas that we make during the day. Benching takes 2 minutes, 3 minutes. If we would put any, even a little bit of the effort that we into our benching, that we put into our eating, just think of how long it takes to prepare the food, and how much effort goes into making the food. Thank you. Into making the food presentable and tasty. That's mostly what the women are doing, but not only women. But that's mostly what the women are doing, and then the excitement that the people have to. I always think about this after yontif, like when you. Like they work so hard, my wife and the girls, they're working in the kitchen so hard. I do a couple of things, but really it's very, very little. I make the chayim. And other than that, I do very little. And the girls are working very, very hard. And then it's like the end of the meal. And it's just like you look at the churban, like on the table, you know, all that went into that and to make it all not just tasty, but it all looks so beautiful. And now it's like a churban and you just like pushing it into the garbage can. There's so much koiches to go into making a yantar, to making a Shabbos, even to making a dinner during the week. There's a lot of koiches that goes into it. And the Baruch Shalom is saying, put in 1 minute when you make the bracha. Put in 30 seconds when you make a bracha to say a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Ha'maisi Lechem L'Aretz. And when you're benching, isn't it the biggest yetzer that when you're benching, you just want to move on with life, right? You want to get on, whether it is, if it's Shabbos, you want to get on with your nap, or you want to get to your learning, or if it's during the week, you need to get to this, you need to get to the job, you need to get to school, and you just want, benching is just like, is an interruption. That's the opposite of Yishuv Hadas. Eating B'Kedusha means I'm conscious that Hashem has given me this food. And to begin with, when you make a brach, you're showing that you're grateful that Hashem's brach has given you that food. And not to take that for granted, and to be able to spend an extra 10 seconds on a brach, and to be mindful. That's called Yishuv Hadas. For us, on our level, that's a big step in Kedusha Sachil. And there are many madregis in eating with Kedusha, and Tzaddikim, a lot of stories about how they ate the Kedusha, you know, the whole Indian of Tzaddikim and food and Kovet Shabbos and how they lived. It was just Rav Mendel of Vitebsk's Yahrzeit was Rosh Chodesh, and there's a one of the chevra, I think he's on now, but one of the chevra sent, it was such an interesting, the timing was so interesting, because I was just talking to my wife about something with this negiah to this Indian, and one of the chevra sent me a maaser for Mendel Vitebska, that when he was in Eretz Yisrael, so he, you know, he's very, very poor, and he lived in Tveria. And Tveria, where do you get your food from? The Kinneret, right? You go fishing, that's what you get. And I don't remember the exact story, but the way that it happened was that Mendel Vitebska, that he had to go on the Kinneret, and they had to go get some fish. They went a little bit to Fish Shabbos, the covered Shabbos. And he was saying that, you know, when I was in Chutz Laaretz, I just stood by the shore, and I would say, like, Shabbos, and then the fish would jump out. The fish would jump out and just, like, come to me. But, and more than the Sionis of being in Eretz Yisrael is that I have to, like, work to get the fish. The fish used to jump to me, and now I have to jump after the fish. You know, the Indian of the Tzaddikim and the Madrega of Tzaddikim, when it comes to Achila and their eating, that it's something which is remarkable. I remember when I was a kid, I was Friday night by the Tish, by Toldos Aaron, by the Rebbe from Toldos Aaron. This goes back to my Isaac from 50 years ago, and I was watching the Toldos Aaron eat. And to me, it struck me how Friday night, you know, so he was eating the fish that he didn't move at all. He didn't move. He took a fork and he put it in the fish, and he took a little bit to his mouth, and the rest he gave away, but he took it. And I was thinking about, I never in my life ate like that. Always bent down to eat, right? You're always like going after the food. It's not like the food is coming to you. Like the fish is coming to Ramedal is going after the fish. So I remember that the Toldos Aaron Rebbe sat there. I mean, you have to afford to have the cleaning done on your Bekesh, I guess. but the Rebbe was sitting there, and he was eating like a king, you know? It's just like this. He doesn't. And I was talking to a couple of chassidim afterwards, to the guys. They asked me, what do you think of this? I said, I noticed that the Rebbe doesn't ever lean over. He doesn't lean. So the chassidim we were talking, the guy said to me, that's how he eats. The tzaddik doesn't, it's not becoming. The food comes to him. It doesn't go after the food. There are madregas of achila b'kedusha. That it's regular people, it's hard to be masking such things. But sof kol sof, even people like us could make a bracha in a normal way. We could bench in a nicer way. We could bench, let's say, learning inside or reading the benching inside. That's just to say the baal peh. But to bench from a bench, and to say a bracha achrayinu with a siddur, to say it with a bench. There are things that one can do. Machshavas kedoshes. Machshavas a person can have that Marshall helped me, that this food should give me strength to be able to serve you. That the food that I'm eating now should food has a big effect on a person's moods, what you eat. There are certain foods that you eat, and it's mechazik the inyan of simcha a little bit. There are other foods that are heavy, and they contribute to the opposite of simcha. So Marshall helped me that the food that I'm eating should be mechazik me, and it should give me simcha. There are things that a person can have good machshavas to eating should be together with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're learning a lot about this in the Bayam Dekacha, the Inyan of Achila. She'oichel b'derech Eretz, and to eat in a way of derech Eretz. In a way of derech Eretz. The halachas of how a person eats, and to eat with derech Eretz. I don't remember my father ever standing in line by a smorgasbord, ever. My mother would stand in line for him. I don't remember my father ever standing in line, waiting in line behind other people with a plate and a fork. I never, ever saw my father do that in his life. He would just sit himself down at the table, and my mother would bring him something. And if she didn't bring him something, he didn't say, she didn't ask him, what do you want? He didn't say what he wanted. And he brought it to him. Yes, he didn't bring it to him. Didn't say anything like this or like that. So my sister would, when he was old, my sister would bring him something. Or I would bring him something. But I never, ever saw him ever stand in line. Not that I'm saying there's not favor to go to. There's not nothing more going to get something from the smorgasbord. That inyan of a certain excitement that comes with that. Or or you know, the line is waiting in line to do that. It's so there are madrigas again. I'm not saying it's not very chasus. There are madrigas of achila b'kedusha, to eat b'kedusha. Again, it's you're going after the food, not the food coming to you. In a certain way, you know, on some level, that the food should be coming to you. Again, not everybody can be served like that. That's not what I'm talking about. And my father was there, very old-fashioned. It doesn't work nowadays with everybody. But the inyan of achila b'kedusha, be conscious of that. Think thoughts that are how would you eat if there was a very, very, very important great person that was sitting right next to you and watching that you're eating? How would you eat? How would we eat if there was like the biggest tzaddik sitting, you know, some great tzaddik sitting next to you? How would you be eating? How would you be benching? So Hashem is Baruch Hu, Shivis Hashem Negdi Sam, and Hashem is Baruch Hu is sitting next to us all the time. Sitting next to us all the time. So help me, he's asking Hashem, help me to remember that I'm sitting next to you and I'm eating next to you. I'm not eating by myself, even if I'm by myself, or I'm very, very comfortable because I'm with my husband, with my wife, I'm with my kids, but I'm eating next to Hashem is Baruch. That's a very simple machshava that a person can have. I'm eating next to Hashem is Baruch. Zakeini levarches habrachas tchila v'sayv b'kavan gedola. Hashem, help me to make the brachas before I eat and after I eat, to make the brachas, to say the words carefully in b'kavan gedola. We started that years ago in the house, and the kids even before they went off, we started to try. I wasn't the one that initiated. I don't remember which one of the girls initiated this, that to try that everybody has to say the brachas out loud. We should say brachas out loud. When you say a bracha out loud, first of all, you're more careful to say it properly. And everybody can say amen. It's a huge thing. So if possible in the house, we should try to say the brachas out loud. And even if there's nobody there, even if no one's home, to say the bracha out loud. And to imagine a bracha saying amen, to say the bracha out loud. In mesinus, to say them slowly. With a clear feeling that I'm standing, I'm here, eating this, I'm making this bracha, in the presence of Hashem, not just Baruch Hashem, but I'm saying this Baruch in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch. But we don't think about the brachas. Remember, I told you once in Ma'aseh that there was a tzaddik with Moshe LeKabrina. It was either him or the Lechovich, but I think it was Moshe LeKabrina. And there was a chassid that was coming who had some difficulties, and he was coming to the bracha, to the tzaddik to get a bracha, to get an etzah. And he was standing by Moshe LeKabrina's door, by the room. And and there was a cup of water on the table, and the chassid wanted to come in, and Moshe LeKabrina just motioned him to wait a second, and he took the cup of water, and he made a bracha, and he drank a little bit, and then he said to the chassid, okay. And the chassid came in, he's a young man, he starts to crack, so my wife said this to me, and my kid is angry at me, and I don't have money, you know, whatever, there's in Yonim. And the Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe LeKabrina, said to him, oh, you know, you should have a big yeshua, but I miss your father. This person's father is no longer alive. The Rebbe said to this chassid, I miss your father. Oh, your father. So the chassid said, I miss my father too. But Rebbe, why do you miss my father so much? So why do you miss my father? So he says, because your father, the Rebbe said to him, your father had much bigger sorrows than you have. And he would stand by the door, and I would take the cup and I would say, Shahakol Niyah B'Dvar, that Rebbeinu Shlom knows what he's doing. Shahakol, just think of the word, Shahakol Niyah B'Dvar. Everything. Hashem knows exactly what he's doing. He did it exactly for what we need. When I would make that bracha and I have a little bit of water, your father would just look at me, he would bend his head, and he would thank me, and he would walk away. But you hear the bracha and you still come in and tell me all your sorrows. You didn't hear my Shahakol. So you didn't hear my shahakal. That's what the Rebbe is saying to him. And we're not listening to our own shahakals. Forget about that. We're not listening to our own shahakals. Everybody here today, unless you're fasting, made already a whole bunch of brachas. And myself also. We all made brachas, whether it's an asher yotzeh. We made brachas in the morning, the regular brachas. Somebody had, could be the people who had breakfast, something like that. or a snack. So it could be they already made a brachas. Between all of us here in this room right now, there are 1,000 brachas already that were said today. And only the creator of the world knows how many of those brachas had wings and were flying, and how many of the brachas were just blah, blah, blah. And this is something we could do. We could change in our lives. So he's asking for help. I mean, he's just giving an example of something that he was davening for help, and we could also daven for. The very fact that we have the schus to speak directly to Hashem is baruch, and to say baruch ata, to speak to Hashem in such a way, baruch ata. You, when you speak, you know, when you speak to an important person in many languages, there's a special word. You don't say you. Like in Yiddish, there's a way to speak to a choshev person. In many languages, English is more of a mechusetik language, but to speak in the third person. But we don't have to speak to Hashem in the third person. We say baruch ata. We might speak to him. We say baruch ata. Especially when it comes to benching, to help me to bench properly with kavanah, to say with all of my heart. That through this, over time, Hashem, eating in this way will help me to become more of a refined person. More of a refined person. To be more pure, to be more refined, to eat in a way of consciousness. That I should be zeichet to eat in a way of kedusha. I know I share a lot of things about my father, Lo Shalom. I hope you don't mind that I do that. It's just I was zeichet to grow up and to watch these things, so I didn't spend so much time watching other tzaddikim, but I saw my father and the way that eating was in that my father at the table, eating was like a solemn event. It was a very serious and solemn thing, eating. And he and my mother, remembered very, very well the years of their lives when they didn't have anything to eat. And eating was like very serious and very solemn. Like I remember a couple of my friends, like when they had somebody over for Shabbos, a friend of mine or something would come. There's a friend that I had that wasn't from New York, and he would sometimes come. And we were at Shabbos, so he would say to me later on, he says, wow, that's like it's really heavy over there, like with the Shabbos lunch. Well, it wasn't like this blabbering and talking and schmoozing about what's going on in the neighborhood. The rabbi's drasha was 3 today out of 10, or the whatever, how come I didn't get shishi, I should have gotten shishi, whatever it is that people talk about, or Trump or COVID. So it wasn't like that at all on my talk table, my father's table. It wasn't, God forbid, anything said, but if there was one dibur of anything, of shtuyot, of something that would come out, about something that went shul or something like that, it was just my father would just look up like that, and that was the end of it. It was a very solemn thing, of eating together. And there were certain foods that my father would distribute, and we weren't allowed to take on our own. It was just how it was. There were certain times that my father would call over my sister and myself and would say, sit down, and he would cut up an orange and he would distribute. I'm saying we were 18 years old. and he would distribute. We didn't know why this is. It was just part of how it went. And there was food that was distributed and given out. And you didn't say, I'm not hungry, or why do I have to have this orange right now? We just ate the orange, and that was it. And there were other foods that were like that too. There were things that were distributed, and it was no talking. No talking. It was a certain seriousness and a consciousness. Again, I'm not recommending we do this at our tables. We'll come to rehab centers now for people to go through these things. So it's not for now. I understand that, but. It left a very, very deep impression on me. It's not something that I could do with I've done with my kids either, but it left a very, very deep impression on me about a certain avira of appreciation, of almost like a solemn religious rite of eating together as a family that you don't see very often these days. But it's a certain consciousness of achila, achila b'kedusha, to refine a person, to make a person into a finer person. Eating is a very, very, very big milchama. We spoke about that in the Bayom Dekecha Chabura. The word lechem, that's what we were learning back then. Lechem has the same letters as milchama. And the Zohar Kaddish says that when you eat, there's a war that's taking place. Every time you and I sit down to eat, and you should sit down to eat. You don't eat when you're walking. Every time you and I sit down to eat, the Zohar says, lechem is the oisius, lachom. Milchom? It's the same shavish as a war. What war is going on when we eat? A war between the nisham and the guf. Who's going to win? Consciousness, eating in a way of derech eretz, and with the proper bracha, means that you're winning the war. When the bread defeats you, when the food defeats you, that's losing the war. When the guf is stronger than the neshama, and a person eats in a way that's not with their cheretz, or overeats, eats too much, or eats just, not you're not hungry at all, you're just eating because it tastes good, and you keep on eating, it means that the mecham, it means that you're surrendering to the guf. And the neshama is beat. The neshama is beaten. And when the neshama is beaten over and over and over again in a person's life, then you become a less refined person. You become a person that's not sensitive to kedusha. Your davening is affected by that. Your way, the way of speaking is very deeply connected to the way that you eat, the mouth. It says in Pasuk in Vayikra, Matzas Teyachal, in Tzav, Matzas Teyachal B'Mokom Kodesh. It's right, it always comes out, Vayikra, the beginning of Vayikra, with Pesach. It says you should eat the matzah. It's talking about by the mincha where the matzah was eaten. You should eat it. You should eat the matzahs b'machom kodesh, in a holy place, which means the Beis HaMikdash. But the tzaddikim say that be conscious of your mouth. You're putting matzahs into your mouth. That's nachila. That's you're eating something very holy. You're making a bracha on matzah. Is that mouth that you're putting it into? Is it a machom kodesh? Is your mouth a holy place? Is your mouth a holy place? What did you speak about? What do you talk about? What words come out of your mouth? There's a very deep connection between eating and speaking. Obviously, there's a very, very deep connection in the song. And Kedusha, Machshavas Kedusha, if a person's eating is with abandonment, if a person's eating is in the way of Hefkeres, without their Heres, it has a huge effect upon how a person speaks, of what comes out of your mouth. All of these things are part of eating Kedusha. On top of everything, we all believe that there's a reason why that particular food is on your plate and why it's being eaten by you at this time. And okay, when the fish came jumping up through a mandal of Vitebska, because that's by the tzaddikim, the whole all of creation is trying to get to the tzaddik's into the tzaddik's radar, because the tzaddik it would eat with kedusha and that would lift up all that was contained within that food. So the tzaddikim, like when the tzaddik walks into the grocery store, everything in the grocery is screaming, me, you know, everything wants to be taken by the tzaddik. You know, when regular people walk into the store, so the, you know, it could be that the fruit and vegetables say, all right, he's not such a, you know, but when the tzaddik walks in, everything in the store is all excited. Maybe I'll end up on the tzaddik's plate. But there is truth to this. Very deep things that are happening when you and I eat. Why is it that food came our way? From all of creation, how did this chicken end up by you? What did this chicken do to end up on your plate? And that you're now having this feligula, you're having this piece of chicken. What happened that, and we believe in this, again, I'm not going into the inyanim of Kabbalah now, that there are nitzaitzes of kedusha, there's elokus, there's elokus in that chicken, there's godliness there, that is waiting for a bracha and waiting to be able to enter into our lives. And through that, there is something that's changing in the world, that's changing in the universe. This is a basic belief that we're taught in the Svarma Kedusha. That there's Kedusha, there's Nitzaitzes, there's sparks of Kedusha, that are hidden in that food. Obviously, we're talking about something that's kosher, and something that we're allowed to eat, that a person Why is it that this particular food you has a certain chayin that you wanted this food? Why do you like this particular food? That food that you like has a certain connection to your neshama. Either for you to eat or for you to say, no, there's not something I should be eating, but it has a connection. Why is it that you daven? Why is it some people like chocolate, some people like vanilla? It's a funny thing. There are people that like chocolate. Like, how many of you like chocolate? Better than vanilla? Okay, vanilla. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. In the bungalow colony many, many years ago, there was the next bungalow to us, the husband and wife almost got a divorce because of an argument over chocolate and vanilla. Because she tainted that he went to the ice cream store in Woodburn and he brought back chocolate and for him and the kids, and she hates chocolate, she only likes vanilla. And she was going so crazy, my wife had to go over there actually and talk to her to try to make some shalom. I don't know if they're still married. It was a long time ago, but it was an eating of chocolate and vanilla. That guy very heated over there. Probably the ice cream melted already by that. It got so heated. It's a serious Indian, chocolate and vanilla. I mean, some people like strawberry. I didn't ask that. I hope nobody's insulted. But it was always either chocolate or vanilla, right? But there's a reason why there's name. It's Chachma, one is Chachma, one is Bina. I'm not going into which is which right now. But there's a reason why the different flavors are connected, the colors and the flavors are connected to the spheres. And there's a reason why you happen to like chocolate. It's not stam. I like chocolate since I'm a little kid. And I have liked vanilla. There's a little vanilla and I can mix in some syrup into the chocolate syrup, I can fix it. But otherwise, I'll only have chocolate. And there are other people that they can't if you talk chocolate. There's a reason for everything. and there's a reason why is it that you have a predisposition to that particular food. Why do you like that? Why is it that you have a connection to that food? There are certain tikkunim that a person has to make in his life and tikkunim in the world that are connected to that particular flavor, that color, that taste. Everything. There's nothing at all. It's now Parshas Kedoshim. I've told you many, many times, there's a teaching from the Rabbi Yankel Ishbitzer. The Ishbitzer defines what is Kedusha. Because everybody, when you ask somebody what's Kedusha, they'll say, right away, staying away from bad things, right? Staying away from things that you don't need. Kedusha means separation. But that still doesn't tell you what Kedusha is. It's only telling you that you can't find Kedusha unless a person knows how to separate himself. But what is Kedusha is a very complicated thing. What's Kedusha? And I've told you many, many times, there's a teaching from the Ishbitzer I've told you over the years, where he has this one sentence. It's part of a long Torah, but it's not such a long. It's around 50 lines, but he has a sentence in that Torah where the Ishbitzer says, Kedusha is, listen to these words, Kedusha hu ha-hepech shel dvarim shel ma-bekach. Any translation? Kedusha hu ha-hepech shel dvarim shel ma-bekach. How do you translate? It's a funny sentence. What is Kedusha? Ha-hepech, what's hepech? The opposite. Hu ha-hepech shel dvarim shel ma bekach. What does that mean? Dvarim shel ma bekach. What do those words mean? Dvarim shel ma bekach. It's old Hebrew. It's an old fashioned. What does it mean? Dvarim shel ma bekach. Haphazard. Inconsequentiality. Ha-kedusha hu ha-hepech shel dvarim shel ma bekach. Kedusha means a sensitivity that nothing is haphazard. Nothing is inconsequential. If I'm going through this aggravation right now, yesh mashu baza. There's a reason for this. There's a reason why I have to go through this. It's exactly measured what I have to go through this agmas nefesh right now. What does Hashem want from me from this agmas nefesh? I have to think about that. I don't know. Maybe I can talk to someone, I can think about it, I can daven to understand, but it's a little stam. It's not stam. A life of Kedusha means a life of consciousness, of awareness, of feeling that this is important. This is important. There's meaning to this. It's not haphazard, it's stam. Or random, right? There's another word, it's not random. Coincidental, random. That means Hakedusha, listen, remember this sentence, Hakedusha, hu ahepach shel dvarim shel mabekach. It's the opposite of living a life of mabekach. Mabekach means mabekach, asma. So this is, so I met you, so what? So I'm here in this place, so what? This happened to me, so what? Kedusha means living a life of awareness, of consciousness, of thinking. Not stam mabekach. And he has the whole Torah there. Talks there about how you can have a person that you can have a person that believes in God, and even someone that's not Jewish believes in God. Well, how does someone that's Jewish that believes in God, but God is not consequential. His existence is haphazard. His existence is random. It's not weighty. When the tzaddiki was saying that when you eat, try to imagine that Hashem is sitting next to you when you're eating. So I said, whoa. It means that Hashem is, you see, like in Sefer Daniel, when he's speaking about the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and the Izbat explains this, that they also believed in God, but they believe that God is Eloha, like in, it says in Sefer Daniel, Eloha de Elohim, it means he's the God of all gods. In other words, they believe in there being a hierarchy of gods. Like there's a whole Melucha, right? It's like a corporation, and there are lower gods, and who is the Baruch Shalom? Who's our Baruch Shalom? So they're minded that there's a Baruch Shalom. They say that he's Eloi Hadaloi. In other words, he's the CEO of gods. No, he's the top god. He's the big god. So this was talks about that. Like, why do they do that? Why is it that they, why do they want to have stuff in between? We do this all the time, by the way, also. Not just a design. But why do you want to have something in between? Sof, they're saying that God is the God of all gods, Elohei HaElohim. And they're saying that they do believe in God, and they believe that God is the God of the, he's the God of, knows there's a God of the Son, but the God of the Son, he works for God, he works for the Baruch Shalom. There's a God of the Moon, but the God of the Moon works for the Baruch Shalom. So like, why all the red tape? Like, why just, like, why live a life of Eloha de Elohim? So the Izbat, so I'm going to paraphrase what the Izbat says. You listening? Have you listened to this? This is very important stuff. It's not random. The Izbat says, they don't want God to be on their case. I'm paraphrasing. He doesn't use those words. Like, get off my case. I want you to exist, because I know the universe can't exist without you. But I don't want you, I want you to be like a couple of steps away from me, you know? Like there's a, I'd rather have like there being a, like moon gods, you know, other stuff. Like I'd like there to be a bunch of steps because I don't want to face you. And this says, Kedusha means when a Jew lives his life, Nochach Pnei Hashem. That's called Kedusha. Facing God. Living constantly facing Hashem. Baruch Atah Hashem. And he said, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they run away. That's why Hashem got so angry at Yonah when he ran away. Not you. When he ran away, Hashem loves you. When Yonah HaNavi ran away, so Hashem's Baruch is saying to him, that's what you do. Because when he left Eretz Yisrael, he's trying to get away from the Nevuah, right? Because you can only have Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael. So he was having this Nevuah. He wasn't happy with this Nevuah. He didn't want to do this job. Yonah did not want to go to, did not want to go to give over this whole message. So to Nineveh. So what happened to him is he ran away. So how do you run away from Nevuah? You get a flight. You get a flight out of Ben Gurion. You go someplace else. You leave. So you just had to get out of Eretz Yisrael because he didn't want to face Hashem. Because he couldn't bear the weight of that prophecy, of that Nevuah. So he had to run away from Eretz Yisrael. Because running away from Eretz Yisrael is running away from Hashem. Because in Eretz Yisrael, you live Nochach Pnei Hashem. When you're in Chutz Laaretz, it's already, there are all kinds of Sarim and Malachim and stuff. In Eretz Yisrael, the Baruch Hashem is like standing over you every second. It's very hard to live like that. So that's why people run away. So the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, he says, they call Hashem the God of all gods. Because they want to remove him. Once removed, twice removed. To remove him from that mitzias of Baruch Atah Hashem. I don't want to have Atah Hashem because that gets in the way of my fun. Because then already if I feel that Atah, all of Avodah Zarah means to avoid that. And then all of a sudden the Jews are coming here and saying to me, Atah, that God is Atah. There's no sun, there's no Holy Ghost, you understand? There's no nothing. There's only Atah. That's it. There's no other stuff. There's only Ata. You're not allowed to daven to an angel. You don't talk to Malachim. You want, you could be friendly with a Malach, but you don't daven to a Malach. No one's talking to Malachim. You can't ask the Malach to do something for you. Even the fact that we ask Machnis Rachamim is all Chiddush, and the Maral was against it. You know, it was all tumult and halacha. How you have to say Malachi Elyon, you know, whatever. Say that. I'm not getting into that now. You talk to Hashem. So the world doesn't want that. The world is okay if there's God, like he's out there. They don't want to have this life of At, especially when it comes to eating and other physical pleasures. What do I need to have him sitting next to me? What do I have to, everywhere I look, he says Ata, Ata, like the B'ditch of a song, right? Do, Mizrach, do, Ma'ariv, do. The B'ditch of a song, you know, everywhere I look, the B'ditch says, do, only you. That's right. Everywhere I look, Mizrach, Ata, Ma'ariv, Ata, Dorim, Ata, Tzofan, Ata, 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 do, you, here. No, I think most people believe, I think they believe in God. I don't think atheism is still particularly popular. I remember reading a study that the vast majority of Americans believe in God. I'm not talking about the media. I'm talking about everybody besides what's on television and radio. You know, the vast majority of Americans believe in the creator of the universe. They believe in there's a God of all gods. Huh?
It's the interaction.
It's the Atah. Because that doesn't bother you. There's a God of God. As long as he doesn't come sit next to me, I'm okay. As long as he doesn't interrupt my program, I'm okay with him. So everybody is a God. They stand and they look up, Almighty. And if you want to be a successful politician, you got to say God at least five times in every speech, besides kissing a kid or something. You got to say five times God this and God that. But be'emes. That it should be in a way of Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Ata. That's what the B'tshuva was saying. You, Mizrach Ma'ariv, you, everywhere, it's you. That is already something else altogether. And that's what the B'tshuva is saying. Because Kedusha is living a life of that in that reality of Ata. That's Kedusha to you. In that reality of Ata, of Ata. Because if you think about it, it's an interesting thing. I spoke about this many years ago once on the Shabbos morning. If you think about it, it's very interesting. After that dramatic opening to this week's parasha, Kedoshim to you, Hashem gathered the call, that's me. So, all right, Ratlam, Kedoshim to you. He's calling Hashem, okay. So you would think that it's going to get, like, that's a very dramatic opening. So you think that after that, there are going to be all kinds of, like, super duper, like, big mitzvahs. Like really, really the biggest mitzvahs of our lives. But then if you look at the parasha, the truth is, respect your parents, you know, keep Shabbos, watch out when you're weighing things. You better not mess up on the scales. Like every single thing, the whole parasha, all the mitzvahs, shoot him. Everything is day-to-day life. The regular life. There's no big drama in the parasha. It's day-to-day life. And it goes on. Regular mitzvahs, regular day-to-day things. That being an ehrlich, honest, God-fearing person. Because Kedusha means living with Hashem every day. It doesn't just mean on a Shemit, on a Yovel, on a Yom Kippur. It means living with Hashem as well by benching, by davening, by eating, by everything that you're doing to have that Ata. And that's why the whole parasha, 70 mitzvahs, the whole parasha, it's all regular things, not dramatic. Last week, the end of the parasha was all kinds of things with men and women, all kinds of stuff, like very, 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 very big, dramatic stuff. But then Kedoshim to you, the parasha goes into day to day. Just because, why? Because it's that regular grind of life that could cause you to become, lose your consciousness of the Rishon. You just get lost in the day. And you forget who you are, and you forget that he's sitting next to you. And you forget the tachlis of why you were created. It's not the great big moments of life. Under the chuppah, everybody feels grateful. You're standing there with your kids. Baruch Shalom was kind to you, and you married off your kids, so you feel grateful, and you're tearing up, and you're all emotional about it. But 2 weeks from now, when you're benching, what kind of benching is that? I just married off your kid. How come you're not? What happened to all of the hakaras hatov of even by shavu brachas by the chasen? You're annoyed about something, and your benching is not. It's so easy for us to get lost like that. And then to feel that this is just a random time of making a bracha. There's a random benching. Or you're talking to your father, you're talking to your mother. Or you're not calling up your father, you're not calling up your mother, right? I'm busy. Ain't this man. I'm too busy to call my mother, my grandmother, to call up, to say, how you doing? For that grandmother, the most important moment of her day, the biggest moment of her week, was when you called up. Everybody has grandmothers, but my friends call their grandmothers every day. That's a life of randomness, of inconsequentiality. If you're thinking in a way of Kedusha, there's no such thing. There's no such thing to think, to be like that, to live. In Persian, it's called a kalepuk, which means to be an airhead. That's to live in such a life. I'm not fluent in Persian. I just have a couple of good expressions from over the years. Yeah, a couple of. But to live as an airhead with an empty head, that's the opposite of Kedusha. Dvam shom abakar. What do you mean? You have a grandfather, you have a grandmother? It's a gewaltige thing. That's chus you have. I made a shiva call this morning while Elena, and I was his father, this person's father, he was a huge Talmud Chacham. He was Nifta, wonderful person. He was 93 and he was very emotional. He was telling me that he was saying that then down the block, a few houses away, the father was 96 when he was Nifta, and my mother is 93. She lives a couple of houses away, and it's the biggest chus that my mother's here. Yeah. And then Mamish, you know, just to look at life in such a way with that consciousness, with that awareness of what a schus that my mother's alive. It's another thing in my life that I have to take care of. An Ish Kaddish, a person who's a person of Kedusha, doesn't look at life in that inconsequential way, in that way of haphazardness, of randomness, of tzachshivas. Doesn't mean he doesn't enjoy a joke. A joke is also to be taken seriously. Even if it's the funniest joke, it should be taken seriously. It's a good joke, you take it seriously. If it's a good joke, if it's a Talmud joke, then yeah. But if it's a good joke, you have to take it seriously. And it's a mitzvah to share with other people. It'll be misamech, other people. If it's something which is good, you be misamech, other people. And you take it seriously. But to take things in a way that's stam, shtiyot. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's davening. L'chayra harini rochag mikol zek, rochag mizmuk mimara. So he's saying, look, I know that it seems that I'm a person that's so far from all these things that we're talking about, like from Mizrach to Mara. Who am I to think that I could change in this way, to live in this way? The truth of all truths is, yes, it's true that I do things, a lot of things I shouldn't be doing, but my heart is in the right place. Aniba Mizrach v'libi Marav, of course, he's quoting from Rabbi Yehuda Levi, which I live in Chutz Laaretz, but my heart is in Yerushalayim. But I'm living far from you, Hashem. My life is not the way it should be, but my heart wants to be with you. Libi Eilecha, Mishtoikek, I'm longing, Kaisif v'kam, I'm longing, Gamim Ains and Nirakach, even though I don't always look this way. Kachitzonius Shili v'chaikim v'chokis, and Chitzonius, the way that it looks is like I'm far away from you. Avel hain ata yodea talumus li. You know the secrets of my heart. What's hidden? Because you look deep into our hearts, you know everything. You know that deep in my heart, I want to be good. I want to feel that you're next to me. I want to be connected to you. To get close to you. To do tshuva, to come back to you. To serve you. Page at the end of the pack. I'm asking you, Barshalom, to receive my feeling of gratitude that's deep in my heart, even though I didn't bench the right way, even though I need to work on it. But deep inside of me, I'm filled with gratitude for all that you do for me, that you're giving my life and you give me the food to eat. And please accept it like that and please take it like that. And I'm going to work on it. And more than anything, this is a teaching that's brought down from the Hilige Rishner, but from Rav Baruch Meshbitzer. Va'alakol, like we say in benching, va'alakol Hashem l'kenachem odem lach. I've mentioned this too many times over the years. So Va'ala Kol Hashem Lokeinu, the simple meaning of that is Va'ala Kol, that for everything that you've given me, Hashem, but the Tzaddikim say that Rabbi Meshbitz in the vision, they say, I'm thanking you for my food. I'm thanking you for my family. I'm thanking you for my health. I'm thanking you for my house. and thank you for everything. But for al hakol, but more than anything, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, that you're my God, I want to thank you for that. That's what it is. Al hakol, again, the simple extract is I'm thanking you for all this stuff. But the deeper meaning is, al hakol, more than anything that I'm grateful for in my life that you've given me, I want to thank you for giving yourself to me. Al hakol, Hashem Elokeinu, that you're my God, that I have this, the right, the chutzpah to say, Hashem Elokai, Hashem Elokeinu, there's nothing greater than that. Al kol ha'idos Hashem Elokeinu, amashat Hashem hu ha'lokim shalanu, anachnu moedim lach. Wow. Wow. I was born a Jew, or a person who converted. I'm a Jew. I'm a Yid. And for that, I have the biggest gratitude more than anything. I'm mentioning you. Help me to be among those who feel this and are able to thank you with a full heart. All the amazing things you've done for me, you continue to do for me. Amen. So the next parak, which will begin next week, is the step-by-step, the actual Hasbara of this. Hachon Hasbara and Parak Yuches in this edition. I don't know what parak is in the other edition, but we'll get started with the Mishnah next week. Okay, to all the Chevra over there, I left the Shabbos, I don't see you called.